The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Richland Bean Blossom Community Schools. Thank you for listening in today. I am your host, Gary Puckett, and today my guests are Superintendent Dr. Jerry Sanders. We have Ready Schools Instructional Coach Mariah Bruce and Kindergarten Teacher Alyssa Drews. This program is sponsored exclusively by the locally owned and operated group of McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville. If you are ready to get started working toward your college degree, McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville offer financial support to their employees to help make their educational journey easier. Archways to Opportunity offers programs to help make your goals become reality, and in a way that fits your lifestyle. For more information on receiving $2,500 annual tuition assistance available to part-time student employees, as well as other programs, visit their website, archwaystoopportunity.com. McDonald's, committed to being America's best first job. Our nationwide media network operates with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We provide on-demand media programming for over 3,300 communities across the nation. Super Chat is a show format we offer for school districts across the country. However, this episode of Super Chat is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Richland Bean Blossom Community Schools. Well, Jerry, Alyssa, Mariah, I welcome all of you to Super Chat. Alyssa, let me turn to you. For the benefit of our listeners with young children, why is kindergarten so important for success in school? I mean, as a student moves up through the elementary grades, surely you see some difference. Can you explain the benefits of a child going through the kindergarten program?
Kindergarten, we plan all of our lessons. As I plan my lessons each week, I do say-its, play-its, relay-its, and weigh-its. And those say-its are those emotional hooks that kind of hook those kids into the lesson. And I do that for math, reading, language arts, writing, all week. Well, I always say that kindergarten is the say-it of their school career. I'm that emotional hook that hooks them into school and just shows them how much they love school. And even on hard days, that we still can pick ourselves up and learn those hard skills. They just come to me and we just are so engaged and find a real love for school that I just really want to set the tone for the rest of their career.
You just summed it right there perfectly, because I think kindergarten teachers, obviously, it's the child's first experience in school. And you are setting the foundation and the groundwork for their attitude and possibly how well they'll be motivated toward everything go forward. I mean, is that an overstatement or?
No, I think you said it right. I think we set that tone, and when there are times where, like, I'm teaching my kiddos how to read in my class, and right now some of them are getting it and some of them aren't there yet. And so we really work around that mindset of you just aren't there yet. And we have hard days where certain skills are harder for us. And it might not just be academics. It might be our social and emotional learning, because kindergartners are just learning how to be little human beings in a classroom. And we teach the whole child, their social aspects, their physical aspects, and their academic aspects. And we really want to take care of all parts of them. So we are just setting that tone to show that even when days aren't hard, here's some problem solving, here's some things that we can do to work through those days. And I hope that they take that along with them in first grade, in third grade, and even like all the way through high school. And they just remember like, okay, I can do this. Even though I can't do it yet, I'm going to get it eventually.
Yeah.
I can tell you, quite honestly, I remember vividly my kindergarten teacher. Oh, and I can guarantee you that she remembers me.
You're probably her favorite.
Well, I don't know.
But we don't have favorites. We love everyone.
But I thought so highly of her, and she did a great job. But I do have a question related to that kindergarten experience and just going through kindergarten in itself. And I'm sure you talk to first through third grade teachers. If a child has not gone through the kindergarten experience, can those first through third grade teachers, can they tell, can they notice a difference maybe in just social skills or maybe even the reading abilities or comprehension abilities?
Absolutely. There's going to be deficits. Even there's some kiddos that come in academically and they could skip kindergarten and go right into first grade because academically they know how to read. They know how, you know, basic math skills of addition and subtraction through 20 and number sense. However, we go beyond that in kindergarten and we do teach those academic skills, but we teach so many social skills and we set them up in so many settings and opportunities for them to use these social skills and adapt because so many of them have never been around other kiddos. They've just been around mom and dad at home. And so this is their first opportunity to be with peers, peers that they get along with, peers they don't get along with, and have disagreements in a safe environment with me and other kindergarten teachers, guiding them along the way, how we work through those disagreements, agreements, and how we use our words and what happens when we are frustrated, and that it's okay to feel those feelings, but these are some coping skills as well. So I think that when they, at our age, work through that at kindergarten, if they miss that in first grade, they have some deficits then working with peers or even their, you know, getting along with their teachers and understanding like verbiage. Because at our school, we're extremely consistent with our language and vocabulary. So things that I say in kindergarten are, again, said again in first and second grade and so forth and so on.
Yeah, well, repetition is important at that level, I think. I want to ask you a question, and I realize it probably has a very deep response that one could give, but I'm sure you're familiar with it enough that you could give some guidance here. And I'm going to ask you this because I just want our listeners to benefit from what you have just been saying. What can parents do to help their student become a successful learner?
You know, I think being involved in their kid's life and not just academically, but just understanding their child, making sure their child is mentally healthy, physically healthy, checking in and knowing when they're at their breaking point or stress and how to cope with that and work with them through that. And then academically, I tell my parents that we don't do homework in kindergarten other than like little quick reading checks because they work really hard for me all day. So when they get home, it's just a great time for those parents to just enjoy their kiddo and sit down and play a board game, go on a walk, be outside, and just kind of play. And I just think all those interactions with your kiddo and just letting your kiddo know that you're, one, always there for them to talk to and always know that you're a safe place to talk to. No matter when there's hard days or, you know, you didn't do a great on this assessment or on a quiz, that you're not angry with them, that you're just going to be there to walk alongside with them and help them.
Great advice. Wonderful advice. Mariah, let me ask you, as a Ready Schools coach, what are your roles?
I work closely with the teachers to look at our scope and sequence documents that align with the state standards, and we plan activities, units, and lessons that encompass STEAM activities, PBLs, Project Lead the Ways, which would be PLTWs, all things that I would consider fun, the fun part of learning, or the experimental fun part of learning. So then when we make these plans, the teachers schedule time in the makerspace, which they work with my partner, teacher John Kerr, and I, and we help roll out these activities. So some of these activities that we complete in the makerspace are engineering using models such as bridges, foil boats, stomp rockets, forces in motion, creating catapults and wind-powered cars. We just created some binary bracelets with third graders the other day, cookie mining, computer coding. Even at the kindergarten level, we work with the Botley robots, construct and deconstruct different materials, structured like the Three Little Pigs houses, you know, and then we actually, you know, try to blow them down, you know. So yes, lots of activities that we do that enforces what we've learned with our state standards.
Well, can you describe for me, or give me an example or two of specifically how you promote STEM-based and innovative instruction in the elementary grade levels?
Yes, that's interestingly fun because naturally I feel like at the elementary levels, we do involve that play aspect of it, or that getting to get our hands involved and experiment. So with STEM activities and PBLs, we're teaching them active ways to engage in the real world and personal, meaningful projects. So this all helps, again, with the tie-in and the buy-in for school and all the things that we're learning and how that equates to anything that they're going to do. So a lot of times with the littles, we will have them say, well, why do I have to learn this? Or I don't understand that. But then when the culminating activity has them creating something, and of course they have to use those skills, it all comes to light. Yes, it all comes together.
Well, Alyssa, Mariah, your comments have no doubt offered parents some valuable insight, and I hope our listeners really appreciate this because this has been a wonderful review of exactly what's taking place and what happens and really the fundamentals behind it. Yeah, your thoughts have been very good. Well, Jerry, let me turn to you now. I want to change topics altogether. Are you able to share details of the $3.4 million federal grant that you have been exposed to? You're involved with a partnership, I've been told, with the IU School of Education. What can you share with our listeners on this point?
Certainly. I am very excited to share the news that out of a partnership with Indiana University and Richland Bean Blossom Schools that were awarded the $3.4 million grant. This was a competitive federal grant that was designed to support school-based mental health programs. Probably about 4 or 5 years ago, our school corporation made the commitment to build up our mental health team. We started to recruit partners to be important members of that effort to support our students and teachers with their mental health needs. We're given the opportunity to work with Dr. Heather Ormiston, who is actually in the IU School of Psychology. Her and Jennifer Anderson, our Director of Student Services, previously worked on a grant, and we've been operating off of that, which really adds some mental health support in terms of IU PhD students and other students in the School of Psychology who've come over and worked with our students. And we've also added mental health providers like adult and child. But one of the big issues that we've run into over the last few years and that we're struggling with right now is finding people to be in those roles. So through our partnership with Adult and Child, we try to have a school-based therapist in each of our schools. Well, it's a challenge in that field to find the people to take on those roles. And so this new grant, which will actually be with the IU School of Education, will enable us to recruit current counselors, current teachers, or maybe people in the community, and help them to get their mental health counselor endorsement and be able to serve as school-based therapists. So basically, general ideas that hopefully we'll be able to address the problem of finding people by growing them from within, and finding the people from within the school corporation, providing them with the training so that we can meet the mental health needs of our students and staff.
Well, it sounds like this is going to really open up what I'll call a pipeline to the resources you need in the way of people. This is excellent. I have to say, this has been a very good exchange today. Valuable information indeed. This is good. I believe very helpful for listeners. And guys, I'd like to thank all of you for joining me today here on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary. Great things are definitely happening in Edgewood schools.
Folks, I ask that you share this podcast with your community of school-associated friends using social media. I'd like to thank our sponsor for their support, the locally owned operated McDonald's restaurants in Bloomington and Ellettsville. Just remember, if you have a comment or a question for us right here in Studio Number 7, email it to us, shout@theflypod.com. Well, I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and our show comes to you free and clear on your portable media device or computer through the program feeds of the flypod.com New Media Network. We're glad you joined us today. Thank you for listening in here on Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Richland Beanblossom Community Schools.